give more than you get, reap less than you sow, listen more than you speak, realize more than you know, calm much more than agitate, question more than comply, hold yourself to higher standards, extinguish every lie.
Hi, everybody. I'm honored to have my guest, Billy Atwell, on this episode of Conversations with Jen. Billy J. Atwell is the founder and host of the Unshakable Self-Confidence podcast. What began as his attempt to understand the nature of fear and self-doubt in order to recover from years of violence and abuse is now an iTunes top 300 show with thousands of listeners worldwide. He's an amazing man. He lives and continues his work in Chicago, and you can visit him at unshakableconfidence.com. Billy is also the author of a book called Unshakable Self-Confidence and produces a monthly magazine called Rise and Phoenix. So, Billy, welcome to the conversation with Jen.
Hey, Jen, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I really enjoyed the conversation on my show. So when you extend the invitation, I jumped on it. So thank you.
You're very welcome. It's an honor to be with you. You feel like an old friend, which I'm sure we are. Oh, can we talk about past lives with you, or do you like stay away from that concept?
I don't stay away from it. I have my opinions about it.
I'd love to know because with something that you do with your followers and stuff is like what I would call Akashic Records, which is because I see the past lives, I see those memories. You call them ancestral imprints, is that correct?
Ancestral imprints in terms of like our behavioral patterns and structures. So it's more of a three-dimensional experience than probably what most people would like, I would assume, with past lives or past energy thinking. I think because we're all of the same source, and that's like experiences, the whole thing, that we can tap into those past experiences. But I don't think me as Billy has been anything other than Billy. I've been a lots of versions of Billy, but I think the information or the feelings that I get of the energy that comes from the past are not from my direct experiences, but just from the, whether you call it God or the collective or the divine source, that's just sort of, it's experiencing everything in life. And based on your spiritual belief, with intent and purpose. Yeah. And of course, if we're of that, then we have access to that. So that's kind of what I think about it. Yeah,
absolutely. So, what you're talking about is, I agree that we can tap into what I call the collective. And so with what I do, I can feel the pain and suffering of the collective. And then you can like pull a strain of that and feel that experience from anyone who's ever existed and such, and experiencing that through the physical self. Now, and this is great for people because not everyone believes in past lives like I do, just because I see so much. So this is a great commonality. And I love when there's two different like points of view that can come together in an agreement, and it's even healing in itself to do that. So, but what did you mean by many versions of Billy? Just so.
You know, I've been through so much in my life, good and bad. Mm-hmm. And I think again too, because I think it's divine law for everything to come into existence and grow and expand. It's very much like the show's logo. You know, my show's logo is a phoenix. It's just the phoenix is always the same, but it reincarnates in the same form. And I think I've gone through different stages of my life and mindsets, limited mindsets, as I've sort of expanded and gone to levels. I'm still Billy, but I'm not the same Billy that I was, like the same Billy that was involved with, you know, narcissistic alcoholics or, you know.
Absolutely.
It happened, but That's not who I am now. So that's my past life.
Okay, so when you say different versions of Bill, you mean within the segments of this incarnation?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. So that's really exciting because even though you're not the one who's at the mercy of the narcissistic alcoholic, you can still tap into that pain. Do you still find yourself like tapping into that to help others?
I don't. Just because I've been kind of aware of how important it is for energy.
Mm-hmm.
Jen, I started to learn about energy before I actually started to do my show. I was taking acting lessons, I was studying fear at the time, and I was about to launch my podcast, which was like 6 years ago. It started, it was Fear Not initially was the name of the show. And I was doing voice acting, and it was just sort of a way for me to get comfortable with my voice. And I was studying the Stanford Meisner technique, and his philosophy was truthful living through imaginary circumstances. And what I discovered was as you go through the script, you pick out like the characters and you write all the dialogue there and you sort of journal and mm-hmm. you just do it in silence and you write out the script, the lines that you say about that particular person. And then whatever comes to your mind, you journal, you just without worrying about grammar or anything like that. It's like a brain dump. And then you go the next night, you read the page before and stuff. And in particular, to put it into context for everyone, I was doing a scene from a play called The Rabbit Hole, which was a Tracy Letts. I think most people probably are familiar with him with Osage County, with like Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts, that movie. And so anyways, the character was a man who was married to a woman and they lost their son, David. He'd run out of the front yard and got hit by a car. And through this process, I actually was feeling that loss. And it was really weird to me because I still carry David with me because, I mean, I've never had a child. I'll probably never have a child, but David was my child and I felt the loss and the grief. And so that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like we can tap into this larger energy source and tap into the experiences, even if they've never happened to us, like we've never experienced them as ourselves. There is vast experiences and energy that you can tap into to sort of feel and do that. So I personally don't do that on my show to kind of pull it back to your thing. I don't really tap into it, but I'm aware of it so that when people come to me, I'm sympathetic, but I don't really like to tap into dark energy.
Right. So what you're talking about to me is the epitome of compassion. And you seem to be able to tap into that experience. And that's what compassion is, to be able to put yourself in that vantage point so you can feel what that person is feeling, which is amazing. Is that something you teach to the followers?
Yeah, I do. Because, in one of my previous experiences and incarnations as Billy, I was a people pleaser. I was the biggest doormat in the world. And so, to keep it with that concept, that's why I don't really necessarily go deep in tapping into other people's energies, because that was part of my problem, was that I would feel their energy, I would be sympathetic, and then I would essentially sacrifice myself, in an unhealthy way. Yeah. And so, to be honest, in terms of how I discovered what real compassion was, because I was trying to be compassionate, but I didn't understand what humility and compassion really was, I think we talked about it when you're on my show. It's like, I'm not a Christian, but I've studied like the teaching of Jesus and that whole mythology and the Bible. And I always found it fascinating that he always helped people. He never not helped people, but he never climbed in the pit with them. He always stayed outside of the pit. And I was like, well, maybe there's a lesson in that. It's, you don't ignore people. You don't not help people, but if you climb into their pit, well, then there's two people in a pit.
Absolutely. That's what I teach people about sympathy, because I think there's a huge distinction between sympathy and compassion. And compassion is keeping your vantage point of separateness and being able to be there for them and lend them a hand. And sympathy is like a sinkhole into like being where they are in that vantage point. And once you're in sympathy with them, if you're feeling it like that, you can't always get yourself out. And they'll like crawl, use that. And it's almost like they'll get off on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. You know, early on in this transformational period for me, I got the visual, like if you crawl into the pit, it's kind of like they're drowning. And of course you want to throw them a life raft. Who, I mean, I can't imagine any real human being not wanting to help someone. But what I realize is that they're frantic and panic and they're splashing and they're drowning. And if you get in the water with them, they're not going to become cohesive and calm. They're going to like
pull you down
pull you down underneath the water so that they can stay above the water. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm a pretty frank person. I'm like, screw that. You know, it's like, there's gotta be a better way to help people than other than to be a victim of theirs. You know, and I think a lot of time hurting people hurt people. They're not, you know,
absolutely. But
that's still what's kind of going on, is they will, in the name of love, hurt you in order to keep themselves going.
Now here's a thought. Not to put you on the spot, but have you ever been able to, because this is, I do kind of do that and stuff, and some people get mad at me because I don't go in the pit with them, because when I do sessions, they want to vomit on me, all their stuff, and my nervous system can't handle that. So what, it's almost like a practice of toggling two vantage points, like the compassionate part of them, but also staying at a higher vantage point where I can, like, it's almost like duality, like pulling them up and staying at that higher vantage point, getting down in there and holding them hand up, and also like keeping that vantage point to climb to. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I wrestled with that. And I think everyone does, because I think society teaches us that in order to be human and to be compassionate, you've got to crawl in the pit. Otherwise, you're inhuman. And, you know, another one of my favorite heroes is Gandhi, and his whole approach was not to engage in the same energy, but to be in the direct opposite, because in your mirror, your reflection, you really can't help anyone anyways, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And so I think the best thing that you can do is, in your heart, in your imagination, hold them in love in their highest consciousness. Because, you know, again, I believe that God is your imagination, and we have the power of God, and through your imagination, you can shape your world. We're creators, right? Even the Upanishad teaches that. It's not just a Bible thing. And so
you are so read way over my head. I don't know what the Upanishad is. So I'm not well versed in literature. So you're making me look stupid here.
I'm so sorry.
It's not fair to make the hostess look stupid.
My deepest apologies.
I know.
I know you pretty well, but just it's just, I think we have a misunderstanding of how we actually help people, because we can't. We can only be an example. And the best way to be an example is to, you know, keep your vantage point.
I'm stuck on Upanishad. I need to know what an Upanishad is.
Oh, so the Upanishad.
Upanishad.
It's a sacred text that comes out of India.
Okay.
And I've done a lot of different texts. I mean, I don't just study the Bible. I've focused on the Bible because, you know, you got to master something, right? And so one of my favorite pieces of scripture that I've ever found came from the Upanishad. And it is, the creator created the creation, poured itself into the creation. And if the creation can understand this, becomes the creator in the world. And this is probably the most clear expression of what I found, that golden thread that runs through all spiritual practices, which is like the Apostle Paul. He would say, do you not realize you are the temple of God and God dwelleth within you? There's this concept that we're not who we think we are. We're a vessel for something greater that's expressing through us. Like, or Joseph Campbell would say, you're the mask of God.
Oh my gosh, all these people, you're the expert right now. And it's like, Joseph Campbell, I know of him and stuff. But your energy is so pure and clear that I know that you've mastered it yourself and stuff. And it's like, these people who've come before you, it's like they've left breadcrumbs for you. But you know the frustrating thing about the scriptures that I've found? Tell me if you think this is true or not. So I haven't studied to the length you have, but I do like use Jesus as a, I don't think of him as a spirit guide, more like a friend, you know. So is there all the people who wrote, and tell me if this is wrong, please, who wrote a part of the books of the Bible, they had a spiritual experience that they were writing about. So that spiritual experience was their way of going off the beaten path and sharing with you how to go off the beaten path. Is that true?
Well, we could go deep in this because I was really resistant to study the Bible because of Christianity and all of the religion and stuff. And so I had a really good guest who came onto my show early on. She's like, well, just throw the bathwater out. Just don't throw out the baby. So I took her advice and started, where did Christianity come from? And so there's a lot of populist control that is formulated in the fourth century.
Dumb it down for me.
So, you know, by the time the stories started circulating, and like the Gospels really aren't written by Mark, Luke, and Matthew and John, they are just sort of attributed to, you know, the things. But these are the stories that were being circulated around the Mediterranean, which was primarily at that time the Roman Empire. And so around the fourth century with Constantine, the Roman Empire was falling apart, predominantly because of this radical way of thinking that you didn't need religion. I mean, that's what Jesus was teaching. He was like, you don't need these priests, these intermediaries. They are going to point you in the wrong direction. He's like, go within. And so actually 345 AD is when the Constantine got together and he had this group of bishops come together and made the official, like, well, what is Christianity? And they argued and they got into fist fights literally about which gospels were going to go in and what was going to be said and what wasn't going to be said. And then they slapped on the whole like Roman Hellenistic, this is where you get like the virgin birth and all these sort of Greek mythologies with the Jesus veneer. And so you've got to sort of pull that out, and actually really it's there in the book. That's the amazing thing, is they didn't change the book. The text is actually, is because I don't think they understood what they were dealing with. And the only real writer is the Apostle Paul. And of course, the Apostle Paul had his own experiences of discovering the Christ within, and that's what he was doing. And that's where the movement really started, was writing to those early churches like the Corinths and the Ephesians and the Philippians. And he's trying to navigate them through this new way of thinking of, you are divine. As God is, so are you in this world. All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine. And, you know, even in the Old Testament, from the traditional Jewish text, it's like, I have made you God to Pharaoh, which is a symbol of like all problems in the world. And so that's not really cool when you want to be in charge and power and want to control people and you want to run an empire. So, you know, not really long story short, but, you know, long story long with
the deep explanation.
I mean, you've got to really, you know, the answer is in the Bible, but you got to separate the religion, the theologians, and the dogma, because I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, you know, calling yourself a helpless sinner and hopeless and irredeemable when nothing in that book doesn't say anything that you are made in the image of God. And as such, you have the power of God within you.
Right. So that's amazing. The way that you're able to articulate what I experience. So my one thing about There's one part of that, like the word humility, like you obviously are a humble person and stuff, but my definition of humility is different than the one ascribed outward. So my description of humility is more like that Christ thing, like you don't think of yourself as a low life. You are a dynamic Adam of God. You're everything, but then ascribe that same characteristic to everyone else as well.
And I think, you know, I struggled with that because, again, you're trained in this world that humility means that you're less than everyone else and you must subjugate yourself. When I've discovered that humility really is no one's better than me, but I'm not any better than anyone else.
Right, exactly. And that's really exciting that you teach us. Can you tell us more? The people who love you and follow your work are called the Phoenixes, right?
That's what I call them. You know, when I started doing a podcast, I had a very specific mission to speak to people and to use my life as an example. Like if you've gone through difficult situations like myself, like violence and abuse, that you don't have to stay there. It doesn't have to perpetuate. So when I changed the show to Unshakable Self-Confidence and like the image of the Phoenix came and I drew it and then that was it. And that's just how it's been ever since. You know, I'm calling to the tribe, if you will, the clan, and just kind of letting them know that, you know, nothing is static. Nothing has to remain the same. But, you know, the only way that I've done it and the way that I've done it for myself and using my life as an example is you have to take control of your thoughts and your self-image, and then everything changes accordingly. And you can be free from anything.
Yeah, you're so awesome. So, so can you tell me, like you're popular and with your people, you know what I mean? With your people are my people because my people are, you know, in pain and self-empowering themselves as well. But what, besides, like, I know it drives me because we have similar backgrounds of abuse and everything. What drives you to do more? What drives you to be so out there for other people?
I know this is going to sound selfish, unless you understand the concept, but by giving, I receive.
No, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah. So the more that I help other people, the help comes back to me in energy and spirit. It's just, it's kind of like, it goes back to the Bible. What you reap, you sow. And so what kind of harvest do I want? Well, I want to harvest where I'm stable and calm and centered and unshakable. Ha 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 ha. which actually was my first prayer 6 years ago after almost being strangled to death, was like this imagery of Jesus just being in the storm and being calm when everyone else is freaking out was just exactly what I wanted to be. And I was like, I want to be that. In order to be that, you've got to give it. You've got to give in order to receive. And I didn't understand that at first, but I do now. So that is what drives me is, I'm not interested in how many people I can serve. That's a sort of a quantitative that the world would teach you to compete. I'm more interested in, can I be authentic? Can I be real? That's how you can help people, is by being transparent. And through that, I've learned how to not be afraid. I've learned not how to let other people control me or be concerned about other people's opinions, all just by trying to help someone else. You know,
it's amazing. Yes, and you are amazing. But I was wondering, you said something about being strangled, which is like a story in itself. I know it is. And I perceive an energy, like, you know, I'm sure you're doing stuff, but I have made more of a business of putting words around it because I'm not like book learned. I just know, I just focus on what I know in energy. And I was wondering, would you be open to me making sure all that residual is gone and showing you what I do, like with the tapping, the SFT protocol that I've created?
Yeah, Totally, Jen.
So when I make noises, I don't know if you're going to share this with your people or not, but I just want to let them know was when I make noises, I'm actually converting pain into sound and just dissipating it like that. Because energy is energy, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Jen. I was going to be for a sort of just, it's like, I mean, I shared you obviously when you were on the show, it's like everyone in my tribe knows you and, yeah, especially and on YouTube, everyone's been watching the videos. So I don't think anyone's going to have a problem today.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, that's nice to know. I do these interviews, but I'm not very good at paying attention where they go or what happens because like you, I think we're totally in the moment. It's like, who can I serve in this moment? And I totally forget like past moments. So that's nice to know. And I send out this love to all your people and maybe they can do these taps with us if it's okay with you and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to, because you said that, and so I've learned how to stretch my propensity to feel this pain intentionally. So I won't focus on one person. I'll focus on the collective and stuff. So, and I've ascribed it to my parasympathetic nervous system. So it's as effortless as walking. So as you're talking about your tribe, I can actually feel their pain and I can articulate in my mind what it's about. Now I'm not wallowing in their pain, but I have had similar pains. So I have the vibration of their pain within my own memory banks. And so I use it as a conduit to know where they are, to go where they are. Like in the sacred text that I have followed in the past, it says like the lover of life is someone who appreciates you so much they will go into your cell with you and be there with you. But what the book isn't saying is that the cell is the human consciousness. So that's what the lover of life is someone who will go into anyone's human consciousness and be willing to be present with them and to like comfort them where they are. And I think that's what you do. I can see how you love, and it's just amazing. So with that, I'm going to make my noises for you. So I'm focusing in on the vibration of what you're carrying with the past, right? Because it's still part of you, even though you can disconnect from it and you do that well, it's still in there as a learning thing. So I'm seeing the fear and all that. And if I can see it, it means I'm releasing it. You hold it in the neck. Do you get a sense of this as I do it at all? Good. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to give you something to say. You're going to say it three times. We'll tap in the top of your head. A fourth time we'll tap in the middle of your chest. And a fifth time we'll tap in your abdomen. And if the people at home want to do this as well, they'll release it as well. Okay? We'll start with the one that you said. We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments.
We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments.
Now, can you pause before in all moments? Because when you pause, that's where I scoop out the energy, is in that pause. Because the silence is just as important as the words. You know that.
Yeah, okay. So we release all the trauma from being strangled.
Wait, sorry. This yeah, is normal. Sorry. I know. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I can see. So you can see how the mind or the ego will not let you do that because that's part of your identity, but you don't want it part of your identity anymore. So the ego is like fighting you from doing this because it will change you and then it won't have that in your repertoire anymore. But that's okay with the Billy in the moment. So we release the trauma of being strangled in all moments.
We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments. We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments. We release the small being strangled in all moments. We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments. We release the trauma of being strangled in all moments.
Take a breath. Do you get a sense of that?
Mm.
Are you open to doing more because your energy is on some level, we're communicating in energy on some level, and you're telling me of other ones to do.
Okay.
We release being stifled in all moments.
Oh, yeah, you're good. We release being stifled in all moments. We release being stifled in all moments. We release being stifled in all moments. Released and being stifled in all moments. We release being stifled in all moments.
Did you get chills with that one? I got chills in your body with that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Can we do more? Is this okay? I don't want to make you too vulnerable, but if you're willing to, this is going to help your people as well. And do you feel my love?
In sense of?
The love is the conduit between us. It's not like male-female. Okay. It's like, it's just.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I feel a connection. That's not really the right word, but there's a definitely. Yes. I don't know. It's this.
Okay. And I'm giving that love to all your listeners as well. And all my listeners and stuff. And that's the part of the connection is like, it's there for everyone. Right. Mm-hmm. And this is amazing. What you're doing is like allowing me to this, cause this is vulnerable and you're amazing to do this with me. Thank you. We release the impact of the blows. In all moments.
We release the impact of all blows.
Nope. Exactly like I say it, because my words are a frequency, like the teeth on the key need to be like lined up.
Got it. Okay.
We release the impact of the blows in all moments.
We release the impact of all blows.
Nope.
What am I doing?
Of the blows.
Of the blows. Ooh, okay.
Because it's in the moment. In the moment, each blow is like, well, you know.
Yeah. We release the impact of the blows in all moments. We release the impact of the blows in all moments. We release the impact of the blows in all moments. We release the impact of the blows. In all moments, we release the impact of the blows. In all moments,
see, now you're talking to me more in energy. Can we do more? We release being desecrated in all moments.
We release being desecrated in all moments. We release being desecrated in all moments. We release being desecrated in all moments. We release being desecrated in all moments. We release being desecrated in all moments.
We release being forsaken in all moments.
We release being forsaken in all moments. We release being forsaken in all moments. is being forsaken in all moments. We release being forsaken in all moments. We release being forsaken in all moments.
We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments.
We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments. We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments. We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments. We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments. We release the belief that God is punishing us in all moments.
So you could know a bullshit artist, so you can tell that I'm not bullshitting you, right? We heal the wounded little boy in all moments.
We heal the wounded little boy in all moments. We heal the wounded little boy in all moments. We heal the wounded little boy in all moments. We heal the wounded little boy in all moments. We heal the wounded little boy in all moments.
We release feeling helpless in all moments.
We release feeling helpless in all moments. We release feeling helpless in all moments. We release feeling helpless in all moments. We release feeling helpless in all moments. We release feeling helpless in all moments.
I see that. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments.
We purge the abuser in our being in all moments.
From
our being. Okay.
Beingness.
We release the abuser
So what you do is you make yourself different. Such a big love, and your love is so powerful and so dynamic. It comes in and flushes and it knocks everything that's not pure love out of your energy and dissipates it. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments.
We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments. We purge the abuser from our beingness in all moments.
We release being punched in the gut in all moments.
We release being punched in the gut at all moments. We release being punched in the gut at all moments. We release being punched in the gut at all moments.
In all moments, right?
We release being punched in the gut in all moments. We release being punched in the gut in all moments.
I'm sorry about this that we're releasing. I'm sorry. We release hiding from our empowerment in all moments.
We release hiding from our empowerment in all moments. Empowerment in all moments. We release hiding from our empowerment in all moments. We release hiding from our empowerment in all moments. We release hiding from our empowerment in all moments.
We release reacting in fear in all moments.
We release reacting in fear in all moments. We release reacting in fear in all moments. We release reacting in fear in all moments. We release reacting in fear in all moments. We release reacting in fear in all moments.
We released, this isn't you, but this is archetype feeling. We released the belief that we're damned in all moments.
We released the belief that we're damned in all moments. We released the belief that we're damned in all moments. We released the belief that we're damned in all moments. We released the belief that we're damned. In all moments. We release the belief that we're damned in all moments.
We remove ourselves from hell in all moments.
We remove ourselves from hell in all moments. We remove ourselves from hell in all moments. We release ourselves from hell.
Remove
ourselves from hell in all moments. We remove ourselves from hell in all moments. We remove ourselves from hell in all moments.
We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments.
Aversion?
Yeah.
We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments. We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments. We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments. We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments. We release our aversion to authority figures in all moments.
Just like three or four more, okay? We release confusing authority figures for the abuser in all moments.
I heard it clearly, and then it just went.
We release confusing authority figures for the abuser in all moments.
We release confusing authority figures for the abuser in all moments.
With the abuser.
With the abuser in all moments. We release confusing authority figures with the abuser. In all moments, we release using authority figures with the abuser. In all moments, we release using authority figures with the abuser. In all moments, we release using authority figures with the abuser. In all moments,
do you like Neil Diamond?
I don't dislike him.
So part of the things I hear is songs in your sound frequency, and you stored something in the song, and I don't even know this song, and I know a lot of his songs. It goes, matter of fact, you're on the right track, the future looks black and blue. We remove all negative filters in all moments.
We remove all negative filters in all moments. We remove all negative filters in all moments. We remove all negative filters in all moments. We remove all negative filters in all moments. We remove all negative filters in all moments.
We release the fear in all moments.
We release the fear in all moments. We release the fear in all moments. We release the fear in all moments. We release the fear in all moments. We release the fear in all moments.
We release the anger in all moments.
We release the anger in all moments. We release the anger in all moments. We release the anger in all moments. We release the anger in all moments.
So that's the heart song. We release closing our heart in all moments.
We release closing our heart in all moments. We release closing our heart in all moments. Release closing our heart in all moments. We release closing our heart in all moments. We release closing our heart in all moments.
So you took a lot of vows and agreements and energy that you connect with and those ancestral imprints. So we recant all vows and agreements in all moments.
We recant all vows and agreements in all moments. We recant all vows and agreements in all moments. We recant all vows and agreements in all moments. We recant all vows and agreements in all moments. We recant all vows and agreements in all moments.
Now the closing one. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments.
We are centered in divine power and love.
Power, never power. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments.
We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments. We are centered and empowered in divine love in all moments.
You're still, your energy is telling me you need to release this too. So I apologize. I know on the surface I'm keeping you longer and it's rude, but in energy, this is what you're asking for. We release averting our eyes in all moments.
We release averting our eyes in all moments. Release averting our eyes in all moments. Release averting our eyes in all moments. We release averting our eyes in all moments. We release averting our eyes in all moments.
We remove all engrams of cowering in all moments.
Anagrams?
Yes, those imprints, those ancestral imprints that you're talking about that I see. So you're removing
I
them.
The word. I wasn't sure. I heard the word correctly.
Finally, there's a word I know that you don't know. There you go. Well, yes, you haven't heard of that word. Engrams, yes.
So what was it again?
We remove all engrams of cowering in all moments.
We remove all engrams
of cowering.
Of cowering in all moments.
Yes, yes, yes.
We remove all engrams of cowering in all moments. We release all engrams of cowering in all moments. We release all engrams of cowering in all moments.
Remove them. Yeah.
Remove.
Yeah.
We remove all engrams of cowering in all moments. We remove all engrams of cowering in all moments.
Last one. We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments.
We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments. We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments. We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments. We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments. We remove muscle memory of cowering. All moments.
We remove all muscle memory of cowering.
We remove all muscle memory of cowering in all moments.
Were you ever locked in a room or locked up?
I was never locked in my room growing up, but there were times in my first relationship where my partner at the time would come home incredibly drunk and violent, and I would have to lock myself in a room to protect myself from him.
So those things of attracting that same experience that you had, and so that's abuse as well. So that's a vivaxis. So I want to release that. So you draw on that, like so we remove all vivaxis with drunks or alcoholics, whatever you want to say, if you need to be respectful. We remove all engram, we remove all vivaxis with alcoholics in all moments.
Vivaxis,
yeah.
Okay, we remove all five axes of drunks.
No, with all five axes with
drunks. All five axes with drunks, okay. Ah! Remove all five axes with drunks.
In all moments.
In all moments. We remove all five axes.
No, not drunks. Five axes. V-I-V-A-X-E-S. Five axes.
Five axes.
Yeah.
Vivaxis. That's mm-hmm. another word I don't know.
Yay!
You're too up on me there, Jen. Okay. We remove all vivaxis with drunks in all moments. We remove all vivaxis with drunks in all moments. We remove all vivaxis with drunks in all moments. We remove all vivaxis with drunks in all moments. We remove all vivaxis with drunks in all moments.
Take a deep breath. So what I would love, Billy, is if your listeners would do those taps with you and see if they feel it. And get a sense of peace that they haven't had in a while.
Stuff. Okay.
Thank you for being so gracious with that.
Yeah, no, it's all good.
Do you want to tell people about your book?
Yeah. Honestly, I wouldn't recommend reading it.
Well, that's not a very good endorsement, really.
Well, I wrote it 3 years ago, and I was still pretty early on in my journey. Everything that I wrote in that book is true.
I mean,
yeah. And you know, you know what I've at that time, what I discovered, it's the three, you know, it's like face it, replace it, and embrace it. And it's about getting to your core root identity, which is divine and not what the world has taught you. So it's all perfectly valid. But mm-hmm. if I were to have that conversation today with someone, it probably would be much more intense and deeper. So that's the only reason that it's just like, if you're starting out, I mean, it still sells really well and people really do use it. It's just, it's kind of like one of those former lives of Billy kind of thing.
You know why it's so important? Because so many people feel like they're the only ones experiencing what yeah. they're going through. And what I found is that's actually the thing they think separates them from others is actually the collective, and that's the thing that we're connected in, is that pain.
Yeah, that was why I started the podcast, was because I felt for the longest time that I was the only one suffering, which turns out everyone's suffering. That's the big sort of inside joke myth, is like everyone's suffering. You're not the only one. And not in a selfish look at me kind of way, but just sort of being trapped in fear and the abusive relationships, that was sort of the dynamic. But just being trapped in fear to listen to my own voice and just like pick up my bags and leave. I mean, that's something that everyone has, some sort of fear. Everyone is living in fear until you understand your power over fear and then you release from it. Yeah.
Now, did you have like an aha moment that like where you really felt a shift in like going from the victim to doing the work you're doing, which is amazing?
I don't know if I can recall any shift. I can tell you in that last relationship, when I started to stand up for myself and I was almost strangled to death, I did have an out-of-body experience mm-hmm. that was the catalytic moment for the change in the shift. You know, that broke the pattern right then and there.
Did you feel like you were going to die right then? That kind of out-of-body experience?
Well, It's weird. I wasn't out of my body, but my consciousness was removed from.
I get it. That's where I live, Billy. So you're not saying anything that's weird.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was there shoved up against the wall. I was being strangled to death. And I was not, like I said, I wasn't not out of my body, but I wasn't feeling the pain. I was observing it like in slow motion. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it was like, whoosh, got sucked back in and then like fought out to get out, you know, but it was, that was the moment. That was the definitive moment of, what's that line from Patti Smith from Seven Ways of Going? She's like, shaken out of my inequity.
So you know what my theory is and what my truth is that the human's consciousness is not meant to be locked in the body. It's supposed to hover around like that. So it feels like in that moment, did you feel like divine intervention, like something like giving you that wherewithal, like, okay, don't stop here. Change your vantage point. Figure out how awesome you are, get yourself out, and then we'll deal with the after effect.
Honestly, Jen, I've always heard that voice. I've heard it all along. I just never listened to it.
Why?
I was trained not to.
By who? Who trained you?
My mother.
Ooh. Okay. Let's do this tip. We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments.
We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments. We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments. We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments. We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments. We remove all programming and conditioning in all moments.
One more. We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments.
We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments. We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments. We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments. We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments. We remove all glass ceilings that have been put on us in all moments.
Billy, can you see how the tapping is a good segue from like sympathy and compassion to like action? Like you want to help the person, but you don't want to get sucked into it. So a way to do it is like to spot them for what those issues are and then just sit with them and do a tap with them. And you can get them on my website, genuinehealing.com, the SFT protocol to go through those, just in case you ever want to. I know you're a busy man and everything, but... Yeah.
I tried coaching and I'm really good. I mean, I can see clear as day.
Ooh, I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about when you're there and someone's trying to pull you down into their stuff and you need a buffer. You don't want to be an asshole because you know what pain they're in, but you don't want to be in the pain either. So what you can say is, hey, I got this tool. Here, say this tap for me. I release this. I release whatever they're talking about and release it. So that gives the person, these taps aren't just for the victim. It's also from the secondhand victim who would have to listen to this otherwise.
See? Okay, cool. Yeah.
Try it sometime. You'll like
it. Nice.
Now, what would you want to say as we wind this up? What would you want to say to the listeners of
I would say, regardless of what path you resonate highly with, that you don't have to live with the suffering that's been handed down to you. You just don't.
Absolutely.
You just don't. But you have to make the conscious decision to be like a line in the sand. You know, and be like, this is the way that I used to be, and this is the way that I am now, which is actually the way that I used to be before all that. It's kind of a going home process, ironically, in my experience anyway, getting back to what I was before the world.
Billy, there's nothing but your experience. You're the expert on this. So of course your experience, but of course it's valid as anything else.
Yeah. You know what I, you know why I kind of say that, Jen, honestly, is because a lot of people compare themselves and they get into the comparison, like, my story's worse. And I'm like, I try to really do my best to help people to understand everyone's got a story.
Absolutely.
Everyone has a trauma to get over. Sometimes it's worse than others. Sometimes it's not, but that's not the point. The point is that we get into these programmings and conditionings and agreements and vows and ancestral patterns, and you don't, you can shake it off. You can drop it and break it. Like you were saying before, it doesn't matter what it is.
And I think the only purpose is like, the purpose of this, our experiences, is so we can come together in that commonality of the lowest common denominator of the pain and pull each other up into the highest common denominator of the divinity, right?
Yeah, I agree. I think that is you were saying before, like, all my heroes have helped the breadcrumb trail. I think that's what we're supposed to do. Even if you don't directly help someone by being that living epistle, by being, like Jesus would say, take your light from under the bushel. I mean, that's how you change the world, is not by forcing people to change or to treat you right, but to you change, like Gandhi would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because then that's the more empirical proof that change is possible. And that's how you help someone, not by telling them what to do, but by showing them that it can be done, by embodying that yourself authentically.
And that's a beautiful thing of where you've come from, because you're so vocal with, no, I didn't arrive as this dynamic energy being that you see in front of you. I was in the lowest depths, and then I was able to shift. And so if I can do it, you can do it. And that was Jesus's message. Can you quote me? Can you say the quote?
I do, you can do, and more, because I go within to the Father. And that's what it is. That's your power source. That's where you go.
Excellent. Although I believe it's Father, Mother, Source. It's not just Father.
Well, the only reason it says Father or whether it's the male thing is because Jesus was Jewish and that was the only language he had. So you have,
right,
to, like, you have to give grace on that.
No, I do. But yeah. But like 2000 years later, people don't understand that. And that's why
they're looking for a bearded, you know, temperamental man who's judging them in the sky. And they're like,
that's the abuser. Yeah, that's the abuser. So, yeah. And one more interesting thing is, I think, like, in the Bible, they say that God made man in his own image. Mm-hmm. I think that was an edit mistake. I think it was man made God in his own image. And then that didn't sound right to the scriber, and he shifted it around because of his own limitation.
Well, I mean, this could be another conversation, right? God made man in his image, mm-hmm, to experience being a man. But I think, like in the story of Moses, when he comes down from the mountain, they were making gods. Men were making gods to worship. They were worshiping the wrong thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Men. Yeah. Man did make God in his own image as an abuser. But that's the thing you hang on the wall. That's not right. Because even Jesus said, people will tell you to look there in the sky or look over here, far there. And they're like, they don't know what they're talking about. It's all
here. Absolutely. Yeah. Isn't that interesting that all these years later, that simple message is still lost?
It astounds me. 2,000 years later, and 2,000 years should have been sufficient if everyone would have, all the Christians that have ever come and gone, actually read the book. Now, early Christians, you know, just to be fair, I mean, the Roman Empire, they totally made everyone illiterate because illiterate people can't read, and if mm-hmm. people can't read, they don't have power. Ooh, wait, deja vu.
Absolutely. Emojis, yeah. Emojis and the internet makes people illiterate as well. I hate emojis. For the same reason.
I love
reason.
Emojis, but I don't use them exclusively.
Okay, right. So people
they're more like an exclamation point.
Okay. So yeah, people use them to articulate, and then they forget what they're articulating unless they hear that little emoji. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And this is how it is. It's like if you can't read the text or you can't understand the text, there's someone there who will tell you. And usually those people are the ones that have ulterior motives. So.
Absolutely. This is such a great conversation, Billy. I love talking with you. Can we do it again sometime?
Yeah, it would definitely be my pleasure.
Mine as well. Well, thank you very much. Now tell people again how they can reach you, how they can find that book that you don't recommend.
Well, it's on Amazon. You know, it's Unshakable Self-Confidence. Just everything is Unshakable Self-Confidence. The YouTube channel, the podcast. There is a website, but it'll redirect you to the book, the podcast, or the YouTube channel. So you might as well go there.
How about on Facebook?
I'm not on Facebook. I don't do social media. I am, however, on LinkedIn. If you want to connect with me on LinkedIn, under Billy J. Atwell, I usually just post, you know, I help promote the guests that are on the show if they're on LinkedIn with video clips. But most of the body of my work is the show comes out every Saturday afternoon, you know, on Apple, Spotify, and then on YouTube. I live stream the show, as you know, because you're just on it every Saturday morning. At 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. So people can come watch the show. They can ask questions. And like when you were on the show, people could tap right along with everyone.
Absolutely.
It's an interactive show. Yeah.
Now, Billy, you're welcome to put this Conversations with Jen up on your LinkedIn page if you'd like to.
Yeah, I'll be more than happy. Just send me the audio, send me embedding codes, and the video. I'll be more than happy to put it on all the socials.
Absolutely.
Socials that I'm on anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to be here with you. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Jen, for having me on the show. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me, please.